Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden, the Franco family and staff, and award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Your primary goal on every dive has got to be to come back safely, you and your buddy. And so anything else is secondary.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Tim Shoemaker.
So when I'm down there and maybe my judgment isn't as good, I don't want my first goal to be to find that shark or to find that whatever, because I might make a bad judgment. But if my first priority is to come back safely, me and my buddy, that changes. I might not see what I was hoping to see on this dive, but I'm going to come back safe. Primary goal hit. Same thing with a conversation with our kids. Primary goal. You want to come back from this conversation, these tricky conversations, safe, you and your team. You know, you don't want to be burning bridges. You don't want to be taking shots at them. You don't want to bully them. You don't want to hurt the relationship you want to build it.
More from Tim Shoemaker at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. You might have tried the wonderfully fresh Red Scooter Deli, but did you know they offer beautiful catering choices? Whether you need your company breakfast or meeting catered, or you're hosting a party, Red Scooter Deli delivers. Breakfast and lunch for groups, dessert trays with fresh baked goods or box lunches. So many choices, and the food is always fresh. For weddings, meetings, or parties, go to RedScooterDeli.com. Two locations in Paso Robles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL, call or text. Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner and Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open every night for dinner. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon. This is Susanna Lethe with Free Talk California. Today is my oldest boy's birthday. He turns 4, so happy birthday, Wyatt. He looked at me. He realized the inexorable, unimpeded march of time today because he was so excited about his birthday. And then he looked at me and he said, "Mama, what if I don't want to be 4? And I said, "You can't stop it. I'm 43. If that makes you feel any better. All right. So today we will be joined by Julie Lane from the Bay Area group Women Are Real. Have you heard or seen any evidence of those WNBA protests? Well, you should have known. These women are part of that. I had no idea this was even going on, and then I heard a podcast about how the WNBA can't decide what a woman is. They had a long meeting, lots of talks, lots of talking, and then they said, "Sorry, we still don't know what a woman is." How like a woman? Am I right? Just kidding. Okay, so before Julie joins us, I'm going to be a little blatant and get the word out about this fundraiser I'm co-organizing for Sonia Shaw. Sonia Shaw, we love her on this show. She has really made waves. Newsom has sued her, has not fared well. She is running for state superintendent of schools, and she has a real shot. She won LA County. She won San Diego County. However, that's no reason to be blasé about the general election, because number one, she was running against a lot of Democrats, many of them with different name recognition, including an assemblyman and the former Speaker of the Assembly. So they were both running for that position. The guy who won the primary on the other side, who Sonia will be facing in November, is a teachers union choice. He is the president of the school board in San Diego County. So yes, he lost his own county. But anyway, he is going to get lots and lots of backing. And just let's be very clear-sighted about what this means. This is an office that I think most voters pay no attention to, even though most people I know have school-age children or grandchildren, but they still do not pay attention to this office. And it's an office that has always been dictated by the teachers union. And just a reminder, in order for democracy or a republic or whatever we call our form of government to work, we have to participate. And people think they can pat themselves on the back just if they vote, and really pat themselves on their back if they vote for more than member of Congress or president and look at some of the local offices. But it's way past that, as I've talked about. We're beyond voting being the basic civic duty. We have to go back to when this country was formed and you joined up with your neighbors and you created the society and the town that you wanted. We've left that to NGOs and activists who got enough power that now they're using our taxpayer money to create a world that we don't want to live in and making things very, very difficult for us as business owners, parents, etc. So come to this fundraiser. It's going to be really fun. August 28th, Friday night, less than 2 weeks away. Barbecue, $50, gets you a barbecue and a wine ticket. We have wine coming from Sculptera and Shadowrun and Ancient Peaks, all donated. We've got a Starlink coming for our internet needs from John Whitford, and country music playing. It'll be a lot of fun. And Sonia's going to be there. It's really a way to engage when you feel personally vested in a race. And I just need to note that the other very motivated party in this election is the California Teachers Association. That's our largest union, and they are perennially one of the state's biggest. Usually they're the top. Sometimes they're bounce out of the top by the oil and gas lobby, but they're perennially one of the biggest lobbying and electioneering spending groups. And thanks to California law, they can also harvest votes. That means they can collect huge swaths of ballots from their members, fill them out, and turn them in. And they do that. This is how the elections are legitimately stacked against us, because I've been calling friends and bugging friends ahead of election day, and most of them have forgotten to vote or lost their ballot or just have no idea who even to vote for because it's a bunch of names that they'd never heard. So that's kind of what we're up against. And the reason I care about this race so much is because it's really winnable. It's really winnable. Polling is showing that. It turns out it's a nonpartisan race, so there's no R next to Sonia's name on the ballot, which really helps. It frees up a lot of liberal parents who really don't like the fact that their girls are getting ogled in the locker room by boys or have to play against boys in sports. This is a huge issue. It's really, really bugging rank and file liberal parents across the state. And just a note about the California Teachers Association too, just because I experienced kind of local pushback about this fundraiser because of a union member. So CTA, as they're known, spend millions of dollars every year shaping policy. And they seem to be, I mean, if you look at their list of policies and legislation that they support, it's all very focused on either money to them that can go to the teachers, or it is really pushing social justice progressive policies like sanctuary cities, transitioning kids, I would say mutilating kids behind parents' back, pushing them to think they're a boy or a girl, which we need to talk about that newest report out of the Trump administration, but that's for another day. But we all know how disgusting and horrible and criminal this is. They push secret abortions. I mean, they push all this stuff with our money. And this is, they completely ignore the plummeting education scores of our kids. They were obviously the driving force beyond our longest in the nation school closures, which I know a bunch of kids still probably never recover from that. And they were also behind all those mask mandates. Fun little story. When I was working at Politico, I reported the story. I was just reporting on a press conference. It was a much watched, must see press conference by Gavin Newsom, because everyone was wondering when kids could stop wearing masks, because it was insane. It was insane. You were seeing kids behind the plexiglass, and they were wearing these N95s. They couldn't breathe all day. I had a friend who was really paranoid, and she bought these cute N95s for her daughter. And she said her daughter was crying and didn't want to wear them. And I was like, but she was in this very liberal town and she was drinking the Kool-Aid on it. This was the time. This was the crazy time. And Gavin Newsom basically said, or he did say, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he said, you know, I was going to lift the mask mandates. It was at the end of the year. I want to say it was late spring. But talking to the unions, they weren't quite ready yet. So I reported that. Well, big freak out. Got a call the next day from Newsom's team saying, could you rephrase that? You know, I know what he said, but he didn't really mean that. And, you know, just rephrase it. The unions really aren't happy. And I said, well, he said what he said. The press conference is on YouTube. I quote him directly. You know, it is what it is. Well, then a few days later, the following week, I get this irate call from the teachers union representative saying, take it off the internet. I said, take it up, unpublish the story because you didn't like what had happened. Well, then I found out that this story had kind of gone viral on the pro parent mom group Instagram feed loop. And because I got a text from a former roommate in San Francisco who I hadn't seen or spoken to in years. And she was living in Chicago and she was really active in the whole school reopening thing. And she sent me a screenshot of this post and said, did you write this? So that was probably why I got the irate thing. But yes, they're very, very powerful. So powerful that they thought that they could get a story unpublished about a televised press conference saying that they didn't want the mask mandates lifted. Did it make them want to lift the mandates? No, they just had to suppress any reporting about how they didn't want to lift the mandates. So anyway, the CTA, this is what they really focus on. They are not really paying attention to the fact that even though we're paying roughly $25,000 per student in public school, the scores are still plummeting. It's just embarrassing. Our literacy standards are so low. It's what, 44% of 11th graders meet basic literacy, according to the last stats, and a third can do basic math. Meanwhile, they're collecting, well, I don't even know what it is now. It used to be $816 annually, last I checked, just for the CTA. And then that included dues for the national group, NEA, which is equally crazy. But they have since removed that information from public view. That was in 2024 when I last checked. They're still claiming that they have about 310,000 members. So you do the math, what, 265 million dollars that they're pulling in for themselves in the national union. And then obviously they spend hundreds of millions of dollars lobbying and on elections and they're really getting involved in local school board elections because they really don't like it when parents are running for the boards. So yes, they've got lots of influence and money to terrorize us. One thing I do want to note, though, and it has been a while since I've seen their budget, but I obtained their 24-25 budget a couple of years ago, and it turns out they have been publicly inflating their numbers. Their numbers have actually dropped by quite a bit. In that year, they had reported just under 267,000 members, almost $50,000 or 50,000 fewer members than they claim. So that is good news, but they're still extremely powerful. One of the other stories that I've got to mention here on how they flex their political muscle and how they spend their money was, this is years ago, this was when Kamala Harris was our state attorney general. Rewind back there. And the state of California had been sued by a group of poor students, poor meaning financially poor, low income, claiming that the state's laws about hiring and firing and quick tenure for teachers, these are policies that were pushed and supported by the CTA, was basically keeping really, really bad teachers in rotation, kind of pushing out good quality, maybe newer teachers, younger teachers, higher energy teachers who are coming in if there's any kind of budget crunch, because the first hired teachers would always get pushed out last. It would have nothing to do with performance. It would have everything to do with how long you'd been there. And then the state also has the quickest tenure track, or tenuring for teachers, I think, in the nation. Don't quote me, I probably shouldn't say that. But anyway, ridiculous laws that experts were all saying were basically creating very poor quality schools. And then if there were questions about the qualities of teachers, then and maybe they got pushed out of a district that where parents were really in tune and more involved, they just get rotated into poor schools. And so the stories that these kids told in court were so bad that the judge literally said it shocks the conscience. He was shocked. He ruled in favor of these students. They're talking about, you know, marijuana being smoked in classrooms, and if teachers, being absent, not paying any attention, if their attention was called to anything, just kind of hurling cuss words and insulting the students, just basically Wild West classrooms. And experts basically said, you know, these policies are really to blame for putting poor quality teachers in these classrooms. Well, what happened? The CTA, which is really angry and fired up by this ruling, found an ally in then Attorney General Kamala Harris. And together they challenged this this decision, went to the appellate court, and this is what is so crazy. Do you know what their argument was? Their argument was that public schools, yes, they guarantee the law about public schools guarantees that students have a right to an education, but that does not mean they have a right to a quality education. So basically, schools can be whatever they need to be. They don't have to teach anything. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound kind of what many, many schools have turned into? The fact that we're just turning out kids who can't read, where a third of the students can do basic math, more than two-thirds can't. Yes. So I think we can all trace the insanity of expectations, very low expectations of students back to this case. So anyway, the appellate court agreed with the union and then Attorney General Kamala Harris, and this time ruled against the students. And the tragedy about this was that I've talked to parents who were involved in that case, Democrats, very liberal people. And they said, you know, when the appellate court came back on this and ruled against the students, it just stopped everything. I also spoke with Gloria Romero, who at the time was the Senate Majority Leader. She has since flipped to become a Republican. She is running for Lieutenant Governor. That's another office that has a really good, where a Republican has a really good chance because she's got a lot of name recognition. But yes, Gloria Romero said she was on one of the committees having to do with education, and she said we were starting to roll out reforms. Obviously, they were opposed by the teachers' unions. And then once that court ruling was overturned, they all stopped. And that was it. That was it. The schools just began to deteriorate even more. Basically, it was deemed by the appellate court and by Kamala Harris that the schools could be bad and they would remain bad. Anyway, that decision was in 2016. The appellate court wrote that the challenge statutes do not in any way instruct administrators regarding which teachers to assign to which schools. Therefore, we're not responsible. And shortly after, the CTA poured nearly $66,000 into Kamala Harris's Senate campaign. So that's what the CTA is up to. Let's get together and support Sonia Shaw if we have any hope for our society and for our kids, improving the schools. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back with Julie Lane from Women Are Real, talking about the WNBA. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. White House Middle East negotiator Jared Kushner wrapping up his meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu after the Israeli leader rejected a U.S. proposed roadmap for a ceasefire in Gaza.
We had a very, very good meeting. We were there for almost 4 hours with him and his team going through all the different details. I think there were some valid concerns that they raised that we were able to address.
A day earlier, Kushner met for 2 hours with the Hamas chief. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the U.S. says agents arrested a Brazilian fugitive convicted of aggravated murder.
I said Macon Salto dos Reis was arrested earlier this month in what it called a targeted operation. According to the agency, Dos Reis was convicted by a Brazilian court in 2024, but illegally entered the U.S. in June of that year.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, America is listening to Fox News.
Attend the 30th ever Creston Classic Rodeo, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. All of your rodeo favorites like barrel racing, roping, penning will be at the Creston Classic Rodeo, and don't miss the famous mutton busting. Watching the little cowboys and cowgirls trying to stay on those sheep is always exciting. For more information, check out the Creston Classic Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and at CrestonClassicRodeo.org.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. I'm joined now from the Bay Area by Julie Lane from Women Are Real. Welcome back, Julie.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
We have been on a journey, you and I. I was just thinking when I first talked to you, and it was several years ago when California parents were suddenly waking up to the fact that their daughters were being forced to play against boys. It kind of exploded all of a sudden in 1 year, and there were boys in the CIF track championships, and there were boys on the lacrosse field, and there were boys in the volleyball court, and girls were getting hurt, and parents were like, how can this be legal? And then they found out that indeed it had been legalized a decade before, and no one realized it. And now, I thought that things were going to get less ridiculous, but now we have the WNBA not knowing what a woman is. This is what we're going to talk about today. So can you walk, because your group has been really involved in the protests of this wild journey that the WNBA is embarking on. So what's been going on? So it all started, this debate over the WNBA started with Sophie Cunningham, I believe, who is a player on the Indiana Fever, basically saying that girls' sports should be protected. And then what happened?
Yeah, so that was an ESPN interview that they wrote up. She had done it months before, and it came out in July. So she came out with this really common sense statement that we all agree with, and, you know, the vitriol was crazy. And we decided, you know, like many other, I think, pop stars and other cultural figures have come out and said the same thing and been canceled immediately or sort of walked back their comments, we decided to show up at their next game, the Indiana Fever, and just show up and say we support Sophie so that she knew she doesn't have to back out of this. People support her, and we're behind her all the way. So we were at this Seattle game, which had some hijinks in it, too, for people that went into the games. They were told they couldn't hold a sign that said, thank you, Sophie. So there's a lot of fear, I think, of telling the truth, but it's getting less and less the more of us do it.
Yeah, so that was the game where I believe it was two high school girls who were holding the sign, and they got cussed out by one of the VIPs of the other team, the Seattle team. Is that?
Yeah, it was like the wife of one of the main owners who did that. She's a lesbian, and she cussed at them and told them they were going to go to hell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how many games have you been protesting since that one?
Well, it just keeps rolling, and there's nobody, you know, it's not like an international organization organizing this or even a national one. It's just a bunch of us that have been in this fight across America for years, and we all believe it's really important to stand up and keep saying the truth out loud that no man is a woman, and if the WNBA stands for Women's National Basketball Association, it should be for women only. But they seem to have a real difficult time figuring out what a woman is. They had a special meeting about it and couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, I think there's been at least five or six rallies before games so far, and a few things have happened inside the stadiums and outside the stadiums because, you know, it's hard for people that have lost their minds to understand the truth and to understand why safeguarding women's sports and opportunities is so important.
I did get an email from Jennifer Say. For those of you who don't know, Jennifer Say is a former, well, she's a former top gymnast, elite gymnast. I'm not sure if she went to the Olympics, but I believe she was in the national champion team. And then she worked for a sports company in the Bay Area and was fired during the Great Awakening, or somehow lost her job. Maybe wasn't fired. But she has started a group, a company called XXXY Athletics Sportswear. And I believe that a lot of women are wearing her t-shirts in at these games. And there was a recent game in Atlanta where a mom was told she had to cover up her t-shirt or leave. But meanwhile, a woman wearing a Trans Kids Belong in Sports t-shirt was kept being highlighted on the Jumbotron and TV.
Yeah, that was a mother and a daughter who were, you know, sitting courtside. They'd paid a lot of money for those tickets, and they got harassed about their shirts, which, you know, why is sex political? I don't know. Apparently it is. But, yeah, and that other woman and the coach from Portland at the second game after Seattle, the coach from Portland was wearing a Protect Trans Kids shirt. And I don't even know what that has to do with the WNBA or women's sports. It was totally off topic, but she was allowed to do that, so I don't know why we seem to be the ones that always get told to take it off. So that's how that's been going. But Jennifer Say is a fucking hero. Excuse my French. She's amazing. She started this company to support women's sports because she was an athlete and she knows. And also, you don't even have to be an athlete to understand common sense. And she's the brand, the only brand that's standing up for women's sports. And we're hoping that everybody will support her, you know, buy a shirt and wear it. The more truth is out there, the better it is for women and girls.
I wear her shirts. And every time I do, I get someone saying, like your shirt, every time. And in fact, yeah, I don't think it was one of her shirts, but at our Mid-State Fair this summer, I actually saw several similar theme shirts. You know, if you're confused, something, if you're confused about what gender is, try milking a bowl, you know, because we're in an ag country. But I'm seeing more people make statements like that. And it's really, I like the t-shirts because you kind of find out who your people are too. I think there are a lot of people who are very grateful. And then you can kind of encourage people to speak out too. Because we're still talking about this incredibly stupid thing. So WNBA, what kills me, so they had that meeting. This is how I really found out about the story because I wasn't really following it. They had this meeting where they sit around and they can't decide what a woman is. And then they say, well, one thing we do know is that sports can't be exclusive or exclusionary. And I thought, what? All right, we're talking about elite sports. So what could be more exclusionary than elite sports? You can't fake your way into that. You can't. But even high school, I went to Templeton High School. I couldn't have made a JV team if I had tried. I'm just not an athlete. I'm not. Maybe I could have done track or whatever, but I was very small and I was a little intimidated by sports. But so, I mean, I had upperclassmen friends who had to play JV instead of varsity. And then there were the really talented freshmen who got to play varsity. And that made varsity exclusionary to some of the upperclassmen because they couldn't beat out a freshman. I mean, this is what sports are all about. And they say, oh, it's not exclusionary. What?
It is the most ridiculous. We only have women's sports and a WNBA because women cannot compete in the NBA. And therefore, men should not be in the women's NBA because they can go to the NBA if they can hack it, right? So it is about ability, although, you know, there's, of course, different levels so that everybody can participate in their appropriate level. But you're not going to let, say, a 20-year-old play in the under-12 softball tournament. Or you're not going to let somebody that's able-bodied play in the Paralympics. It's 100% exclusionary on purpose.
On purpose. It's about physical fitness and physical ability. And not.
Yeah, and all the science is there now. We know that when boys come out of the womb, they automatically are more aggressive and stronger and faster than girls. So that all the little, you know, national tests that we do on kids in PE shows that across the world. So there's no denying any of this anymore. But there's some real dug-in people that can't seem to handle the truth.
I do want to note, aren't there some male players, I don't know if they're retired NBA players, but they're really good. They would wipe the floor if they entered the WNBA, and they are declaring their eligibility per the WNBA rules, and they're asking to be recruited onto a team next year. Have you heard about this?
They declared for the draft. Yeah, they declared for the draft, and they did it on purpose. They know it's ridiculous. They're on our side. They want women's sports protected.
No, I love it. I love it. It's the best stunt ever. So what's going to happen? Have you heard any scuttle?
Oh, I think that the WNBA is hiding, and they're saying that this is a stunt, and they're not going to recruit these guys. But I would sure love to see how they determine what a man is. If they can't decide what a woman is, how do they know what a man is? And then if a man is a woman, if he says so, then why aren't these guys women? They can't explain themselves out of this. They can't find their way out of a paper bag.
So how many protests have you been to, or how many WNBA games have you been to?
I've only been to the one protest in Seattle because that one we felt was very important to do. And it really just took off, and people keep doing them all over the country. We're going to keep doing them through the end of the regular season and then probably continue through the playoffs because I think the Fever will make it into the playoffs and probably make it into the second round. So we're also, my group is going to go to a Valkyries game this Wednesday night, in two nights. And, you know, just show up with our shirts on and support women and girls and hope that some people join us. We'd like to have a little rally before, and then some of us are going to go to the game as well.
So what was the reaction when you went up? Were there counter protesters yet, or since that was the first protest, did you catch people off guard?
There were only a few, and we let everybody know we were coming. So the team, or the WNBA, whoever, I think it was the team, they printed out professional placards talking about some political proposition that they have going up there that's against, you know, protecting women and girls. So all the fans were holding those, which is a political sign, which is apparently not legal in that stadium anyway, but they were allowed to hold their signs. And yet the two teenage girls with a sign that just said, "Thank you, Sophie," were told they couldn't hold it. So, you know, they can't figure out what their rules are. Only what they say is okay. Okay for me, but not for thee, is their whole thing. And, you know, these women are going to lose their jobs if men get into their league, whether they are trans women, so-called, or any man who says he's a woman, because the WNBA hasn't defined it. So anybody can come in if they're recruited or drafted.
Is Sophie the only player who's come out with this common sense statement?
She's the only one that's been specific about it, and she's the only one that backed it up again. I did see something from Cameron Brink, who she's talking about having to practice against males and how, you know, they're saying rude things to her behind her back about how they're going to guard her, you know, in a kind of a rapey way. So I think women have concerns about males, and I think it's, you know, some of them are willing to say it, but it doesn't necessarily get all the press that Sophie got, because, you know, the week or two before this all blew up, she had done the pointing thing to protect Caitlin Clark. She was doing the point, and that just blew up the internet. So she's pretty famous right now, and she's a pretty good, you know, off the bench player. And then just to come out, and she's, of course, beautiful and funny and enjoys the game and enjoys life. So for some people, that's really triggering, I guess, but I think she's amazing.
Yes, has she been getting beaten up on court, or because the WNBA seems a little brutal?
Yes, she did get her head taken off by Angel Reese in a recent game. It was some other player, Dejanay Carrington, took her head off and got ejected from the game because it was a flagrant 2 foul that could have really damaged her. She and Caitlin Clark get beaten up all the time, like. People are going for their eyes and their heads all the time. So neither women. So I think there is some retaliation going on in the court. And it's too bad. And, it could be really bad. Like, this is why sports has to be fair and referees have to be fair. It's not just men going after these women. It's women going after the women who's talking about the truth.
I can't understand why administrators are even letting this happen. Are they scared? You'd think if it's clear, because I saw a few clips of players going after Sophie, and you'd think that they would have a lawsuit on their hands, or, I mean, it's just kind of so flagrant and shocking. Why aren't they speaking up? Are they just all too scared? Are they all in a little woke echo chamber?
I think it's both. I've heard a couple of, one comparison is if they were doing this to Kobe Bryant back in his day, or Steph Curry, if people were taking his head off repeatedly, they would do something about it. It would probably be called the Steph Curry rule. You know, like, you protect your major stars so that your league keeps going and people keep wanting to see the games. The other thing is, I was going to say something else. You go ahead.
Well, I was going to bring it back to our high school fight, because you attend CIF meetings and fight for high school girls here in the state. There were boys in the CIF track championship again this summer. Since the court ruling saying that Title IX is about sex and not gender identity, where is the fight right now in our state for our high school girls?
Well, apparently it's what we're doing, which is talking about it, because we know Newsom's not going to bow down to that ruling. There are still boys playing in girls' sports in California. I guess they're willing, and I think it's actually really hard to remove Title IX money, even though we want that to be the case. We want there to be a consequence for doing this to women and girls. But California's really dug in along with the other blue states. Minneapolis, there was a rally before a Fever game there, and that was the most violent one we'd seen.
Really?
You know, very blue cities, very blue states. They're terrified.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have, but really appreciate you coming on, Julie. This is an insane story, and I have to say it's probably the only time I've been following sport, elite sports recently. So, and who knew it would be that WNBA.
Yeah, if there's a game near your city, go out there, and somebody will be out there with a sign or a shirt. You should wear one, too.
Sounds great. All right. Well, stay with us, everyone. I'm going to be right back to wrap out our show. Thanks to Julie for joining us. And don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Taylor Riggs, and this is the Fox Business Report. A choppy trading session with the major averages kicking off the new trading week lower on rising oil prices, U.S.-Iran tensions, and as consumer stocks tumbled. The Nasdaq erasing earlier gains on AI optimism. Semiconductors and chip equipment makers advanced. Memory chip makers surge with Micron Technology and flash memory maker SanDisk leading the charge. SanDisk stock rising 8%. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick urged Apple not to buy memory chips from China, which may be helping U.S. memory stocks. Software stocks fell as they often do when investors are buying up chips and memory stocks. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and Amgen. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, United Health Group, and McDonald's. The Dow down 273 points. The Nasdaq lower by 84. S&P 500 down 41. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Ryan, what do painters do when it gets cold outside?
I don't know. What?
Well, they put on another coat, of course.
Seth, that joke needs some touch-up.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
We paint interiors year-round.
But fall and winter? That's when it's perfect time.
Yeah, perfect time for a fresh look.
We do full interior painting, residential and commercial. We work with your schedule.
Plus cabinet painting that makes old kitchens look brand new.
Clean lines, no mess, no stress.
From one room in your home to a whole office building, tasting room, medical suites, we've got you covered.
This season, call the Peek Brothers. I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
And everybody loves a great experience.
That's Peek Painting. PEEKPainting.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. With Julie, I did touch on the topic of girls' sports in California, what we can do given that the Supreme Court did say sex is not gender identity. That brings me to it's back to school time. And here in California, there are always crazy new laws, crazy new policies. We don't know how we're going to have to fight on behalf of our kids in any given year. Since Trump's been in office, there have been a lot of lawsuits challenging policies that if they didn't come from California, they are in full effect in California, blue state policy of some kind or other. We've got them all. And it's really hard to keep track of what the school districts are allowed to do. Julie just noted it's really, really hard to claw back Title IX funds. And so for now, California is just kind of operating as it always has. And maybe you just got this back to school handbook. Read those handbooks. The handbooks basically delineate whatever new policies there are. And then there are those weird ones that maybe they're not highlighting, like tampons have to be in boys' restrooms now, etc. So maybe you're going to see something that you don't like and you want to do something about it because it's better to do it now and maybe make some people roll their eyes at what a funny daddy you are. And it's better for them to do that than just to wait until we're all in the gulag and you're wondering how we got there. I joke, but not really. Read too much Russian novels of the time in Russia before the gulag started. And we're in a pretty scary time. All that said, okay. There is a group called FAIR. And it's something against intolerance and racism, but I can't remember what the F stands for, and I couldn't find it on their own website. But the website is fairforall.org, and they just opened a California chapter, which I really recommend you sign up for their updates because they send California-specific legislative updates and templates like the template I'm about to share with you. That's very just relevant for Californians. So anyway, Fair for All is this nonpartisan group, and they basically want to make sure that ethnic studies courses aren't too crazy, and they want to make sure all of us have the tools to stand up for what we need. With that, we do have a caller. Hi, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. I think the solution is to amend Title IX to insert the word biological in front of the word woman.
I disagree with that because woman is biological, and if you start having to qualify it, you've already lost. That's just
that's my solution. If there's no biological males allowed in women's sports by that terminology, I think it would solve the problem.
Well, as long as we all know what sex means, and it was over the Biden rule was overturned that tried to make sex into gender identity. So technically, it should all be very clear now. It is very clear now, legally. But we have the problem blue states just kind of ignoring things. So this is stay listening because this is what we're going to deal with now. Is this template letter, and thanks for calling, by the way, this template letter from this group FAIR includes just basically is something you can bring to, right, send to your superintendent, copy the district attorneys, not the district attorney Dan Dow, he probably doesn't want all these letters, but the attorneys for the school districts, copy the school board, the trustees, and just use this letter that you can download from fairforall.org/California, where you can actually look at your school handbook, see what they are requiring of students that violates Title IX. Is your daughter having to play against boys? Is she having to be ogled in the locker room? And just the language is all there. You can just edit it to make it relevant for your particular school district and your particular school's policies. But I'll just read a little bit from this letter where it says, on January 9th, 2025, a federal court vacated the rule that would have changed Title IX to apply to change sex to gender identity. As a result, no rule expanding Title IX to gender identity is legally enforceable anywhere in the country today. The Department's Office for Civil Rights has been explicit that Title IX's requirements control, regardless of state law or athletic association rules. The department has also demonstrated that it will enforce the restored framework directly. Its case against Jefferson County Public Schools, Colorado's second largest district, escalated from a finding of a violation to a formal warning to enforcement action. In July, the district sued the department rather than revise its policies. Our template asked districts to proactively review the policies on restrooms, locker rooms, overnight accommodations, and athletics. Districts with the foresight to adjust their policies now can maintain control over how and when they communicate with families. Districts that wait for a complaint risk facing a 10-day compliance order and public backlash in the middle of a crisis. So I, for one, know that there is at least one boy playing on girls' teams in our county. So parents, grandparents, everyone with kids needs to download this template, send it, amend it to fit your child's school or your grandchild's school, and send it. This is the way that boards feel pressure. Copy all the board members, school board members, copy the attorneys. There's also a template on pronoun policies. Your child will most likely, if there is a confused child in their classroom, your kid will be told, be kind, call the boy, the girl, refer to the name, the chosen name. Well, last November, the full Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, sitting en banc, that means all the judges of that bench were ruled together. They ruled in a case called Defending Education versus Olentangy's Local School District that a public school district cannot discipline students for declining to use a classmate's preferred pronouns. So stand up for your child. You can also send this fairforall.org/California has a letter for you to declare to the district, put them on notice, saying, if you try to make my child lie and say that a boy can be a girl or a girl can be a boy, you're violating their First Amendment rights. So this is really, really useful. I'm going to send these letters this week. It's back to school week. Try to get all your friends to do this too. It's really easy. We don't even have to think about it. We don't even have to come up with the language. It's all there. You do have to research who your school board members are, etc. But it's pretty simple. So if you, yes, just do it. Just do it today or tomorrow. I do not have time today to review all the crazy bills that, well, we've mentioned some of them, but the crazy bills that are about to become law. There are some particularly egregious ones that are down to their final vetting. So next week I will mention some. If you can take 5 minutes or so and call our State Senator John Laird and our Assemblywoman Dawn Addis, really, really easy. But as I said up at top, when I'm urging you to come to the August 28th fundraiser for Sonia Shaw, it is not enough to vote anymore. We really, really, really have to come together and start acting like citizens. The conception of our country was citizens self-governing. Well, we're not self-governing. We've decided that self-governing means putting our heads down and worrying about our own life and not looking around us. And so we have activists running our lives, activists who want socialism, who want communism, and they're not even hiding it. And they're forcing it by the policies in our public schools. And they really, really have control of our state institutions, our state legislature, and basically any organization that you turn to. So let's start self-governing. Write these letters to your school district, call legislators, and yes, team up. We're in it together. Join or die. All right, this is Free Talk California. Really happy that you all tuned in today, and we will see you next Monday. Take care.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.